true, there's been trouble and trickery, sir. Trembling and tribulations to witches from switches of hickory, sir. You, sir, and your usurpations. But my patience wears very thin when you play the violin. How I stay, I can't imagine. When you play the violin.
Chapter 7. The Baudelaire Orphans' school day was particularly austere, a word which here means that Mr. Remora's stories were particularly boring, Mrs. Bass's obsession with the metric system was particularly irritating, and Nero's administrative demands were particularly difficult. But Violet, Klaus, and Sonny did not really notice. Violet sat at her school desk, and anybody who did not know Violet would have thought she was paying close attention, because her hair was tied up in a ribbon to keep it out of her eyes. But Violet's thoughts were far, far away from the dull tales Mr. Romora was telling. She had tied her hair up, of course, to help focus her keen inventing brain on the problem that was facing the Baudelaires, and she didn't want to waste an ounce of her attention on the rambling, banana-eating man in the front of the room. Mrs. Bass had brought in a box of pencils for her class, and was having them figure out if one of them was any longer or shorter than the rest. And if Mrs. Bass weren't so busy pacing around the room shouting, "Measure!" she might have looked at Klaus and thought that perhaps he shared her obsession with measurement, because his eyes were sharply focused as if he were concentrating. But Klaus was spending the morning on autopilot, a word which here means measuring pencils without really thinking about them. As he placed pencil after pencil next to his ruler, he was thinking of books he had read that might be helpful for their situation. And if Vice Principal Nero had stopped practicing his violin and looked in on his infant secretary, he would have guessed that Sonny was working very hard, mailing letters he had dictated to various candy companies complaining about their candy quality. But even though Sonny was typing, stapling, and stamping as quickly as she could, her mind was not on secretarial supplies, but on the appointment she and her siblings had with Coach Genghis that evening, and what they could do about it. The Quagmires were curiously absent from lunch, so the Baudelaires were really forced to eat with their hands this time. But as they picked up handfuls of spaghetti and tried to eat them as neatly as possible, the three children were thinking so hard that they barely spoke. They knew, almost without discussing the matter, that none of them had been able to guess Coach Genghis's plan, and that they hadn't figured out a way to avoid their appointment with him on the lawn, an appointment that drew closer and closer with every handful of lunch. The Baudelaires passed the afternoon in more or less the same way, ignoring Mr. Remora's stories, Mrs. Bass's pencils, and the diminishing supply of staples, and even during gym period, one of Carmelita's bratty friends informed them that Genghis would start teaching the next day, but in the meantime they were to run around as usual. The three children raced around the lawn in utter silence, devoting all of their brain power to thinking about their situation.